I'd like to call this meeting to order. The time is 6:18, December 27th, 2011. I'd like to call this special meeting to order. Let me correct that. I'd like to ask the board members that are present if they have any conflicts of interest. Ms. Rowe?
No conflict.
Mr. Jones?
None.
Mr. Heine?
None.
And I have none myself. We'll now do roll call. Just answer here when I call your name. Ms. Candy Rowe?
Here.
Mr. Rebel Jones?
Here.
Mr. Tim Heine?
Here.
Myself, Robert Fino is present. Mr. Bill McCarter is not present, but will be available by phone if necessary. I'd like to have the chief leaders in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next item on the agenda is discuss and vote on the contract modifications for a fire chief. Any questions or comments on the...
I had a question on M, down towards the bottom. Employee will not be absent from the station for more than 1 week at a time other than annual leave. So that means he has a 2-week paid vacation and then has a week off, or what?
No, in case he needs to go on fire, a wildland fire, he can be gone for 1 week.
Okay.
On a wildland fire, or any type of special fire that might, he might be an in-district fire.
Okay.
Like we had over here on the Chiricahuas. Hold on, chief.
Okay.
We're just discussing the proposed contract.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if I could have a copy of it to look at it, to follow along with you. Since I haven't gotten it.
Do you mind that I need to...
No.
...go along with it too?
Make a copy of this? Thank you, sir.
And that would also go with illness or anything else? Mr. Fino?
No, he has sick leave, you know, in case, you know, we have no control.
Is the sick leave part of the 2 weeks of paid time off?
No, it's just whatever is accrued according to the SOPs, the station SOPs. From what Terry Bannon was talking about, he has to just have the same benefits. I think that part is discussed on some of his...
So he has 2 weeks paid time off and then any
accrued sick leave.
Okay. I also have another...
Now, let me reemphasize. This is a contract for a fire chief, for any fire chief.
Okay. I have a question on him also. I wasn't able to find anywhere in the contract where the chief would inform the board members if he was going to be absent for any away from the station, for department business,
for
any sorts of, for whatever reason he may be away. I would like to see...
B. Take all responsible steps to keep the district board informed of his...
But I'm talking about his personal...
Reporting up monthly. Well, I think it's still in there somewhere. I think I saw that too.
Yeah, it's in here. We can go through this and find it.
And is also now a time to point out, to have typos corrected?
Yes.
On paragraph A, on the last...
Page? Give me a page.
The under duties, K, I think it would be the second page.
Page two? Mm-hmm.
On the last sentence, where, let's see, demotions, suspensions, and terminations prior to taking any such action unless the health, safety, and welfare of the district personnel or that of a pubic is immediately jeopardized. Mm. I would like to have that changed to public.
I don't know. That's pretty, you know, iffy.
Yeah, that went through spell check, but I guess that's not a misspelled word.
No,
if,
it's not.
Okay.
And there's also, if you could go to, it showed up on page 5 on mine, but district vehicle use terms and conditions.
Page 5?
Yes. That's what showed up on mine. I don't know.
Yes, yeah, it's the same on, it should be the same.
C, down to about the last sentence. Employee shall receive mileage compensation as set for. We have 4 changed to 4th. So it reads compensation as set for.
Okay, I guess it is a different page. Under what section was this on?
District vehicle use terms and conditions.
Oh, I see it.
Paragraph C.
Okay. Okay, and you shall, and you said the change.
In the sentence that reads, employees shall receive mileage compensation as set forth in the district's policy.
Set forth.
I'd like that to read as set forth.
Forth.
What page are you on?
On page 5.
Page 5.
Right above indemnification.
Yeah.
E is that section. Employees shall receive mileage compensation as set forth in the district's policy, or if no policy exists, then this rate shall be in accordance with the standard IRS rate for such use.
I don't have it.
Right here, set forth. This word right here?
Where's the E?
Well,
C.
I'm sorry,
oh,
C.
Okay.
C, I'm going backwards.
Okay.
Set forth, right, this section right there. Okay.
Thank you.
I think what we ought to do is start from page 1.
Okay.
We've all read this. We are, because I recall seeing that about being informed.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
On page 1, under duties, employee shall spend his. I think it should read his or her. It could be you could have a female chief.
Under what letter?
Under duties, employee shall spend his. Full-time?
Or her. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Under employment agreement 8, this is just a question I would like to mm-hmm. clarify. Employer is familiar with qualification and performance of employee.
I'm sorry, we're
on the
very top. Okay.
Employer is familiar with the qualification and performance of employee. I've never actually seen any qualifications of the current fire chief. He has spoke of his qualifications, but I would like to review qualifications of the chief, see documentation pertaining to why he's qualified for the position that he or she will be holding.
Okay, I think you, a fact is, most of the board members here weren't here when our current chief was brought forth.
I'm sure you all worked under a resume of sorts.
Yes, we had a resume.
Let me clarify a little bit more, Mr. Chairman, if I could. Not only did they have a full resume, but they also had copies of all of my certs.
So I would like to be able to review that information.
They are available.
And any performance reviews that the fire chief may receive on these out-of-district fires working for state, because they will give reviews.
Keep that in mind, okay, when we get ready to make a motion or not make a motion or second it or vote. So make sure we'll keep that in mind, because that may play a part in the...
Mr. Chairman, just so that the new board members do know, they can submit in writing to me that they want to see this stuff, and I do have it on file so they can see it.
And and under duties, section C.
Okay.
Last of the sentence, benefits, that needs to be a period.
I'm sorry, where?
C.
Duties, C.
Mm, C. And benefits, instead of a comma. Okay.
Needs to be a period instead of a comma.
Now, I found under K, the employee is required to keep the district board informed of all such personnel issues of significance. All decisions requiring promotion, demotion, suspension, termination prior to taking any. Well, no, it still doesn't say.
Mr. Chairman, if I could please.
Yes.
Many times on here, I see a 10 or a reasonable. And to me, on this previous contract, I thought I was being reasonable.
I'm sorry. You're asking what?
On page one, under duties.
Mm-hmm. Make reasonable recommendations.
B,
yes.
C and D. Mm-hmm. E. They all say make reasonable recommendations. Or to me, that's leaving it open, just like it was before.
Well,
my opinion.
It's open for the board to decide what is reasonable.
Then I shouldn't say it shouldn't say reasonable recommendations. It should say the chief should bring it to the board. Direct.
So maybe take all steps possible to keep the board
informed? Well, I mean, to me, reasonable is leaving it gray again, just like it was before. Am I not saying that right, or what do you guys think?
Let me take a look. No, because that was the way it was worded in the first contract. Mm-hmm. I see no problems with that.
Okay.
Maybe we can put a definition in the contract for what the board feels as reasonable.
Okay. Any suggestions?
Wouldn't that change from situation to situation, what we would think is reasonable?
But there's five, it's a five-man board, you may think something is reasonable, and
right, but that's why I think the word reasonable.
So we as a board need to be in agreement on what we feel is reasonable.
No, I think we as a board at a meeting will decide by majority vote what would be reasonable or unreasonable.
That makes sense.
Okay.
I think the wording is quite fine.
But let me say five person board.
That's right. Rebel.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Just cut it out. Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I've shown on page four for any district obligation.
Mm-hmm.
B, medical insurance, not including vision or dental. Can we add to or change this to where the employer will also have the employee participate in a periodic physical examination as requested by the board or district?
Well, I think that's covered in the SOPs, the standard operating procedures, that each person was required to pass a yearly physical.
I don't know if that's actively being done yet.
So you want a reminder,
yes,
in the contract.
And that whoever the chief is, that the doctor of our choice will submit a letter of fitness or whatever for the board, that the department knows that we have a physically fit person. person in that position.
Most CEOs are required to do that and make a presentation at a meeting. So that should...
Let me ask the chief, what is covered in the SOPs concerning physicals?
The PAC test. But that's mainly for the full-time people that are going out on wildfires, or the part-time people that go out on wildfires.
Are any of the personnel required to take a physical? A yearly physical? Doctor's physical?
Just the PAC test.
So I would like to see an actual physical from a certified health provider for workman's comp issues or any other issue that may arise, because firefighting medical can be a very stressful or strenuous job. I also feel that we could possibly look into whatever, how deep do we want this to go? Do we want blood work to actually be taken care of, also covered under the department, the employer? Because, you know, in the EMS field, they are exposed to so many different bodily fluids that we want to be able to have a documented proof of if any occurrence should hopefully never happen, but if something would happen, we could have better workman's comp issues and all that.
I think that's a good idea.
So basically...
And have a yearly report.
The employee shall provide to the district a physical from a certified physician?
Of the board's choice.
Well, shouldn't it be with our insurance provider?
Well, there's different doctors that specify just to this field of work. I know at my employer that we have, I believe it's US Health Works, that they actually, since there's so many employees that they see each year, that they actually come on plant site and they'll perform the physical yearly there. So I would recommend someplace that's familiar with workman's comp,
okay,
familiar with this type of work environment that the employee would be exposed to.
Okay, and have a yearly.
And at the end of the examination, the doctor has a form that it doesn't have any personal medical information on there. It just says that this person is physically fit, yes or no, to perform the job duties in the description.
I think that's a good call.
Mr. Chairman, may I?
Hold on 1 second. We'll put this prior to accepting employment. And on a yearly basis?
Yes.
And then on a yearly basis. Okay,
and
would that be under district obligations, or would that be under...
Why wouldn't that be under A?
Yeah.
Employers, I mean...
Employee agreements and terms, you mean?
No.
Well, I feel it should be under district obligations because we are bearing full cost of the examination.
I see your point. We'll put that under Section E. We'll discuss that. Any discussion more on the from the board?
I have something to add to that if you want.
Let me answer one of the other questions first, Chief, before this came up. On the last page 6, under item E, this agreement constitutes and contains the entire agreement between the district and the employee, unless modified or amended. All modifications or amendments to this contract must be made during board meetings and will be incorporated and effective immediately. It will be the employer's responsibility to make these changes and incorporate them into a written modification or amendment to this agreement and present it to the district board within 5 business days from the date of the meeting in which the modifications or amendments occurred. So,
this being a special meeting, will these be?
Well, we can make it a special meeting if we feel it's necessary.
No, is this because this is a special meeting? Can we make the corrections, or do we have to?
Well, this is what's going to be discussed in just a bit, because these corrections will have to be voted on and agreed on, and then we'll have to come back. More likely, we'll have to come back with that, or if we can make the agreements to this contract today, then we can have those correct. You know, it's recorded as corrected and modified, and if we can come to an agreement of the wording and everything like this, more than likely, I think this would have to be something that should be taken back to our attorney for further modification.
Why?
Just because of the legal text of the contract.
Okay.
I'd rather not take the chance of making a mistake on this contract.
Okay.
And being an error. And possibly having a null and voided contract.
Okay.
Okay. Let me go back to the chief. Chief, you were going to add something. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. Thank you. It wasn't too long ago that this issue was brought up to the board about having the folks do a physical, and I believe the board felt that they couldn't afford it at this time. If you're going to make the chief, whoever it may be, go through this policy, then you need to do the policy for everybody, otherwise there's going to be prejudice.
Well, I think this is just a contract right now for any fire chief. Then it would be up to the chief to decide to provide, have each employee provide a physical,
okay,
and so on. I think that should come under, I mean, I'm not going to suggest that we eliminate it off this contract, because I think it's important. I think it's also important if the current chief implement this and bring it to the board, of course, and have every employee, you know, be required to take a physical. I thought, you know, that's my impression. Any comments?
I feel that, personally, I feel that every full-time employee should undergo an annual physical. EMS, especially firefighting. From what I understand, pretty much everyone's cross-trained now in EMS and fireside. All full-timers, I don't know how many we have as full-time status at this point, but they definitely, part-timers, I'm open to suggesting whether or not the part-time should have to participate in a yearly physical, or if that should be something that's just once upon a time hired, being hired, or then once every so many years of service with the department.
Mr. Chairman,
what I'm concerned about is workman's compensation. If we get an employee in here, either part-time or full-time, and he has a pre-existing condition that we don't know about, that the district doesn't know about, then that pre-existing condition can significantly hurt the district
financially,
whether it's through workman's compensation or not. So I feel that every employee, you know, being brought on should go through a physical. Any comments on that from the board? But I mean, that's to be discussed at a later date. You know, right now
we're just discussing the contract,
right,
at the moment.
So we're just discussing this contract at the moment, and so far, what we've discussed seems appropriate for this contract.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with you that if you're going to do one, you need to do them all.
Yeah,
whether you have a volunteer, a part time, or a full time. Either one of them gets hurt, you're going through.
Right. We're getting off the subject. We're getting off the subject. This is just the chief's contract. What comes later with the rest of the employees is different. Now, looking through that, I thought we had a statement in there saying that comment? The chief will keep us, will keep the board informed. How was that, Tim? You mentioned that was kind of on the first page. The take reasonable steps to keep the district board informed of all district affairs. And that might cover it, including but not limited to preparing and presenting a report at monthly meetings. Mr. Jones, was that what you were concerned about, being informed, keeping the board informed?
Well,
how did you put it?
Which one are you reading?
First page under B, item B.
Preparing and presenting a report at the monthly. Okay.
Well, no, he will take all reasonable steps to keep the district board informed of all district affairs. And then it adds including but not limited to.
Uh-huh.
And it just.
Well, we could put it there for the. What are you asking?
That was your first question. You said you didn't see anything like that written in the contract.
Well, it's not very specific in that.
How specific is what I'm asking you? Did you feel that it needed to be?
Well, this is what I had my notes I had written down. Employee of the district shall participate in periodic physical examination as required or requested by the employer district. Written report of all examinations shall be made available to the employee and shall be filed in the health files of the district. The doctor shall be designated by the employer, the district, and the district shall bear the cost of such examinations requested. So that's how I would like to see it.
But then okay. We're talking about something different.
Yeah, no.
We're talking about the first question. You said there was nothing in there that you wanted the fire chief to keep us informed.
Of
his absences.
Everything.
I was almost positive that was in there, and it
well,
would.
Well, then it is.
Well, yes. On M on the second page, that's where that question came up.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was dealing with the hours of normal business hours that the fire chief would be here. I don't think that first A. I don't think A really covers it very specific. And like the chief was currently asking with the take all reasonable steps or make reasonable recommendations, that's such a vague opening. I would just like to tie this down to where he knows exactly where he stands and the board knows what to expect.
You have to make that a little clearer to me, Mr. Jones. Can you word it in a way that you feel would cover that? I think this portion here that the employee will notify the board of all absences or upcoming absences in.
Where are you reading the absences?
Well, no, it's not there.
Uh-huh.
I remember specifically talking to Terry Bannon about that, our attorney. That the chief needs to inform the board when he's going to take vacation.
Uh-huh.
Prior.
Yes.
Prior to his vacations, when he's going to be attending meetings, prior to you know, in other words, I don't want to call up here and they say, well, the chief's at a board meeting someplace else, you know, or in Tucson, or he's out on at a class. Mm-hmm. I'd like the board to be informed prior to those absences.
Yeah.
Which are fine and valid. I mean, you know, but I think we need to know. I don't want to call up, you know, and find out that the chief is sick,
mm-hmm.
and I have some paperwork or I need to talk to him about it. I to be informed is through email.
Yeah. Yes.
You know,
any
telephone call.
Any form of communication.
Excuse me. But
yes.
You say board. What about? He doesn't have to call every board member. Shouldn't he just
inform the board? Inform, yeah. Basically, informing the board is contacting one of us.
Then, so if it, that has to be, if you want to make that a larger explanation has to be under B, because on the first page, because that's mm-hmm. where it is.
I agree.
It says, take all reasonable steps to keep the district board informed of district affairs.
Mm-hmm. And I thought that would be covered.
Which would be
absence
everything,
yes.
basically. And it says, including but not limited to. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why Terry Bannon must have thought that that would cover that point. But to me it does, but if you want to get different verbiage in there.
I think that section covers that also.
You could have...
Okay, here we go.
Five pages full of stuff if you want it on there, but...
This is where I found my notes. Under vacations will be given no more than... under vacations, the board will be notified of any pending vacations or absences 1 week prior. I think that might cover that.
So where was it?
That's not in there. That verbiage isn't in the contract. But
well,
I think it should be added. But I think it should be. I have it in my notes to be added, but apparently it wasn't.
Okay, that's what I was looking for.
Yes.
Something of that verbiage. That way the board has prior knowledge that the fire chief will be absent for vacation or of such reasons.
Yes. Pending vacations and absences to include meetings.
Out of district travels.
And you want to put that under B?
No, maybe not.
Meetings. No, under his vacation. To include meetings.
So under F.
On the first page?
No. Under vacation.
Under vacation.
Under compensation. If that's what you want to add, if you're concerned about, well, I guess it can't be under compensation either because it's not just vacation.
I think on second page, under item M, is where we were talking about. Employee will not be absent from the station for more than 1 week at a time other than annual leave. And right after that, then we should put down... The board will be notified of any pending vacations or absences 1 week prior to include meetings out of district, to include all meetings. Sick leave. Or absences, I think, would cover any type of absence. And that should be covered under meetings. If he's going to be absent from the station, that should cover any absence, should cover meetings.
Any absences.
Any absences. Sick leave, out of station meetings.
Well, it would be hard for him to cover, plan a week ahead that he's going to be sick.
Right. So, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So,
thank you.
But.
At
the earliest convenience, he can
including meeting or
inform the board that
1 week
he was absent
or absences 1 week prior.
Planned absences 1 week prior.
Any planned? Okay, yes.
That's, and other absences as quickly and conveniently as
all other
like
emergencies.
As soon as possible.
Hold on. This is Bill McCarter. I told him to call. This is a meeting, so I have to. Yes, Bill, I have you on speaker.
Okay.
Did you just want to call and listen? We're just going through the contract and making suggestions, corrections, typos, and so on. Do you have anything to add?
I don't think so. I just got to thinking I should have done this telephonically, so hopefully it's not too late for me to join in a little bit.
No, I informed the board that we would contact you by phone. But I'm glad you contacted us. Right now we're on we're adding one thing to the vacation section, that the board will be notified of any pending vacations or absences 1 week prior. All other emergencies will be handled. Any comments will be handled as occurred.
Okay.
Any comments or questions concerning that?
Well, he has to call and schedule somebody here at the firehouse to take his responsibility, so he should call you at the same time.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So.
So. And we'll put that portion in item M on page 2.
Okay, I'll just listen along. If I have a comment, hopefully I can just interject.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, also on M on page 2?
Yes.
Since we're in that section. Employee agrees that at least 40 hours a week must be devoted to district business and must be spent at the station. What about calls?
Calls are part of your station duties.
Okay. Going down a little further, employee will be required to present be present at the main fire station located at 105 Tracy Road, Pierce, Arizona, 85625, during the normal business hours of 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. That's 9 hours a day.
With an hour lunch?
I don't take hour lunches. And it doesn't say anything about a lunch break.
We'll add that in. Including 1 hour
off for lunch.
And I also believe that the way I'm reading this is, so if I respond to calls between Monday through Friday after hours, that time does not get calculated in?
No, because you're on salary.
So if I'm working on a structure fire from 8 p.m. to 6 o'clock in the morning, I better be here at 8 o'clock?
Yes.
Okay.
Any comments from the board?
I do have a question on that same paragraph. The as he mentioned, as the chief has mentioned, responding with the calls, do we want to require him to respond with every EMS call? Is that necessary? Is that sometimes they need an extra person there, but not always? That's something that's an added expense to run with the ambulance when not needed. And if they get to where they're going and they need extra help with a lift assist or landing a helicopter, whatever, then they can call for him. So that way he can devote more time at the station unless needed elsewhere.
Well, I think this paragraph will basically, as the chief mentioned earlier, what if he is on a fire for, you know, till 6 in the morning? Is he required to be here at 8? Well,
yes.
More than likely he's going to either shift his duties or that was covered by Terry Bannon and I. When you're on salary, you are required to respond to calls whenever. There is no extra, there's no overtime included. There's no made up hours to be made up. There's no extra time off. We as a board can decide to amend that later or even amend it now if we want. But that can be an amendment if that comes to be a problem, I feel. Any comments from the board? Did you want to add something to that?
I don't know exactly how to word that, but I don't want to expect the fire chief to respond to every EMS call.
So basically,
allow the EMS personnel to.
The chief should delegate his authority to delegate duties to the people that are present.
Right, because if I'm not mistaken, there's a captain on almost every crew now,
mm-hmm.
or someone that should be able to handle the situation. And then if they arrive on scene and they see that it's more than what they can handle, then they can call for assistance. And I mean, I can't expect him to be on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's just going to burn that person in that position out. So he needs to be able to step back and allow the EMS, the medics, paramedics, EMTs to make that call, make that run, and then call for help.
Other than micromanaging, I don't see how we can, as a board, handle that situation. I think as a chief, in that position of authority, he should be able to delegate his authority, or, you know, on his own without board interference, or without micromanaging from the board to say, you know, chief, you need to stay at the station, or you need to have somebody else, have one of your captains go out on this call, or something like that. You know, me not being a firefighter, I'm not sure how strong that goes over. Being a fire chief is a big responsibility.
Yes.
But being in a position of command, you should also learn how to delegate your authority.
I just want to make sure I understand that he is not expected to respond to every time the tone goes off, needed or not, when he has perfectly capable personnel to take care of the task at hand.
Mr. Chairman, if I can kind of clarify a little bit.
Yes, Chief.
Mr. Jones, I think I see where you're going, but I think that's a step in the wrong direction for this fire district. And the reason why I say this is many times we respond to individuals that two people cannot carry by themselves. And to delay a response to Son Azona or to Cochise or Richmond, for that matter, another 10 to 15 minutes for them to get on scene and decide that they need help is the wrong way to go. Many times a lift assist turns into a transport. I really think that would be the wrong way to do that.
So we need. I just wanted to make sure I understand that if the call goes out, he's expected to go or not, or that's all I'm wanting to make sure.
Or to make the command decision to have somebody else go in his stead.
Yeah.
I mean.
But I'm just saying for me to say he is expected to respond to every single time that tone goes off.
I don't think it states that in here.
Okay, but I just want to make sure that I'm not reading into it wrong.
But you know, I have to have time off. I mean, there's no way you can say you have to work 24/7, 7 days a week, whether it's exempt as a contract or not. I have to have time off, and there will be people that will come in and fill in for the chief when he's off. You know, it says here Monday through Friday, so Saturdays and Sundays somebody else will be here as a third person to cover my spot.
But then on the last sentence, it says that,
on one of the sentences, it does say
it says that you'll be expected to attend working fires whether on shift or not.
Right.
So I'm just wanting to make sure.
Yeah, it's at the beginning.
And that should be if available, because I'm, you know, if it's my day off, I'm liable to go to Sierra Vista or Tucson or even grocery shopping in Wilcox.
Yeah, I just don't expect to. If it's his scheduled day off and something happens, he shouldn't. Whoever the chief is shouldn't be under obligation to have to respond. But do we need to have it filled by somebody else, or can it be filled by someone on standby? That's up to that's at a later discussion. But
may I interject?
Yes, Bill, go ahead.
What I would like to interject is that it's the chief's responsibility to make sure that each call is properly responded to, whether by himself or someone else.
I agree.
But that should the chief respond, does not add to the hourly time that he spends.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yes. And that's just an unstated fact. That it's the chief's responsibility. We can't go any further than say that's the chief's responsibility. If we go further than that, it's back to micromanaging.
Right.
Is that what you're... does that sound good to you, Bill?
Yes, I'm just saying, ultimately, no matter what we do or how we do it, the responsibility comes back to the chief. The chief is responsible to make sure that all calls are properly responded to, whether by himself or others. To go just a little bit further, it's also his responsibility to make sure that they're done within a fashion that our fire department is able to take for. So he has many responsibilities, but the ultimate responsibility is for everything that goes on in that department.
So I think that probably on M, the second to last sentence should probably be removed. It says, included in employees' duties will be to attend working fires, whether on shift or not.
Hmm.
And put in what Bill had mentioned.
Bill, do you see that part on page 2 under M? Included in the employees' duties will be to attend working fires, whether on shift or not. Because then that'll just give, you know, this goes back to the chief's responsibilities. I mean, it's his responsibility to make sure those...
I'm thinking here for a moment. I believe that if you do that, what you're doing is off-tying yourself. You're saying that he has to be there, but perhaps he's out of town. I mean, I want to play the devil's advocate a little bit. Perhaps he's out of town and he can't do that. But I think we have to go back to, it's ultimately the chief's responsibility to make sure that they're properly covered. It's the board's responsibility to decide whether he has done so.
So it's the chief's responsibility to ensure that
fires are properly covered, that rescues are properly covered. It's the board's responsibility to decide whether he's done that, whether he has properly covered everyone.
I'd probably say probably all emergency calls are covered.
Yeah.
It is the chief's responsibility to ensure that all fires and emergency calls are properly covered.
Yes. Whether by himself or the proper people, the proper... I'm sorry, I'm at a loss for words here for a moment. But that the proper personnel respond to each incident. And then it's the board's responsibility, which we can't write into the contract, but it's our responsibility to decide whether he has done so.
Yes, we have that. I think we have that part covered under any type of termination. Let's see. Under H, under termination, a couple of places. H, any other act or failure to act which, in the judgment of the district board, is sufficient to demonstrate that the employee is unfit for continued employment. And then another section here, any failure of the employee to carry out his obligations and duties to the district under this agreement. And that's under Part B. So I think we need to add, it is the chief's responsibility to ensure that all fires and emergency calls are properly covered. Period. You know, it's...
Right, and for that section, that probably works. But I want to add, from my own personal stance, that it's also his responsibility to make sure that it's done so within the budget. within the budget that is put forth by itself and the board. Does that make sense?
Yes. It's also his responsibility to do these actions within the planned budget.
Right. I don't know if that needs to be added in.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, from my own perspective, I'm saying it's his responsibility to make sure. It's also his responsibility to make sure that it falls within the district budget.
Which is under G in the contract. Which is under G in the contract because it supervises the purchase of all materials, supplies, equipment, of which funds are available, negotiate contracts for operation and administration of the district. And then it goes further on to say, with not to exceed the district's approved
monthly,
but it's actually a yearly budget, so that could be changed.
We could put down monthly or yearly routine budgeted expenses per.
But that's in.
No,
there.
Yeah, it's that's in. That's already covered under section G on page two.
So don't add another line in another section.
So I think included employees' duties will be to attend working fires, whether on shift or not.
I think you can specifically put it that way. Because there's times when he's not going to be there.
Yes.
Well, how come? Why don't we just change that when available? To respond to fires when available. Because the chief is going to respond to the fire unless he's out of town, probably, I would think. He knows what I know we're trying to get this, and we're all not confused, but you're always in any contract you're going to have a little bit of.
That's why we added that one part that any part of the contract can be amended.
Yes, that's right. So we always have that to go back to. I thought our responsibility tonight is to come up with a working contract, and that's what we're trying to do. But now we're going through, we're nitpicking every little deal, and we're adding things twice that's already in the contract. We need to.
May I interject for a moment again?
Please do.
Go ahead, Bill.
I'm thinking. I understand what you're saying, Mr. Petty, about nitpicking, but I also have to say that due to previous circumstances, I believe nitpicking is necessary. And so, therefore, I would like to be as specific as possible, but you can't say that he has to respond to every call because
I didn't say that. I said, why don't we change the word to say working fires when available, not whether on shift or not, when available. And that would solve that problem.
And I agree with that. I think that should do to this person.
And then right after that sentence, I'm thinking it is the chief's responsibility to ensure that all fires...
He knows that it's part of his responsibility. He's not going to be there. One of these guys is going to be there, and they are going to be instructed to do what they're supposed to do.
I agree with you.
So that's why I think that we're micromanaging as we speak.
I don't think we need to put that verbiage in either, myself. I mean, the chief, being in a position of command and safety, knows he has to have all the fires properly covered, knows that he has to have all the fires properly manned, knows that he has to ensure the safety of all the individuals. That's just part of his...
May I interject?
Yes, Bill.
I disagree. I think we have to be specific. I think we have to say specifically what we want them. I am not prepared to say that the chief knows what he should do. I think we have to specifically say what he has to do. I'm sorry. I believe that.
Well, that's one of the main reasons. Let me remind the board. That's one of the main reasons that I had to go to Bisbee a few times, discuss this with our attorney, in the situations that came up and the way the board has felt in the past, that we needed to be a lot more specific, and she agreed, and
she wrote this contract and thought this was much more specific. Am I right?
Yes. She wrote this contract saying that this was a lot more specific than the others. There's some limitations. The included in the employee's duty will be to attend working fires, whether on shift or not. You know, we were trying to find words to fit that, and she says, that'll take care of that. You know, and she felt that was strong enough.
So we can add then maybe he's expected to attend whether on shift or not unless he has already notified the board that he will be absent. That way he has
again
that's covered.
What I said, when available, covers that because he's already going to be here 40 hours. We've already said that. So if he's available, he will be at the fire, I would think.
One would hope.
Well,
and if he's not available, Bill, then that's when we convene as a board and say, we've had some problems, we've had some issues, and this all comes under the portion of termination.
And yes, but if he's not available, then he is responsible to make sure someone else is.
Yes.
That's basically where we're at.
So maybe
if he doesn't come out, then the board convenes.
So maybe it would be a good idea to add, it is the chief's responsibility to ensure that all fires and emergency calls are properly covered.
Yes.
Well, I mean, if you're not available, it's still your responsibility to assign somebody
to make sure it's covered.
Exactly. To make sure that is covered. A delegation of authority. I'll just come right back. So, Bill, if for some reason, do we have another cell phone here? Mine's running out of power.
I have mine. I don't know if it's...
You have a speaker on yours?
I do.
Okay.
I can try that.
Bill, if my cell phone is running down, so I'm going to give you...
He has my phone number.
Can you give Mr. Jones a call if we break out? Okay. If you can't hear anymore, that means that's your clue to call Mr. Jones.
Do you not have your phone there in front of you, the department's phone?
No, I'm on my cell phone.
Okay.
I can bring the phone out.
Okay, yeah, we'll bring the department phone out. Okay? And we'll have you call on that.
Okay, give me that number so I don't have to look it up, please.
Yeah, 826
3645.
3 plus 6 is equal to 9, and 4 and 5 is equal to 9. 3649.
Thank you.
So how are you going to write this?
Bill? Okay, he hung up. Yeah. The way... Let's review real quick what we've done and changed, okay?
We haven't changed anything yet.
No, we haven't changed anything. And the employee shall spend his or her full time and best efforts on the district. His and her?
Yes.
There's some punctuation. Item C is a period instead of a comma.
Just 1 second. Get your phone out so we can bring it out to the center.
Second page, item K. Correct the spelling of public. at the very last. One addition that we need is that during the normal business hours of 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on item M, second page.
Just put them on hold over there and I can pick it up.
I'm sorry, what? 8 a.m. to 5
p.m. 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, which includes 1 hour off for lunch. This is a possibility. We'll discuss this right now. Included in the employee's duties will be to attend working fires when available.
Let's try this out here. Mr. McCarter, are you there?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, you're on speakerphone with the fire station. And guess what? It's even louder, so we'll hear you.
Okay, Mike, I want to take this time to apologize to you all for my lapse of memory. I apologize, but I appreciate you letting me sit in.
Yes, good. We're just talking now on page 2. We've gone through some of the typos and the misspellings. We found 3 so far. We're on item M. We're just going through basically what we've covered so far and see if that is that enough. Item M on page 2. The employer will be required to be present at the main fire station located on Tracy Road during the normal business hours of 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, which includes 1 hour off for lunch. Because that's 9 hours, 8 to 5. Included in the employee's duties, we'll drop us down a sentence. One sentence, included in the employee's duties will be to attend working fires when available. Now, previously, before you got on the phone, there was a question to add H2. The board will be notified of any pending vacations or absences.
I thought after this line you were going to add about the fire chief's responsibility.
Oh, okay.
Let's stay in order, please.
Okay. Well, this was in order. This was supposed to be put in right before the employer will be required to be present at the main fire station located at 105 Tracy Road.
Okay.
And right before that statement, after the second sentence on item M, the board will be notified of any pending vacations or absences 1 week prior. Period.
1 week prior to the leave.
1 week prior to the absence.
I thought that was under compensation.
I thought it was in there too, but I did not see it.
I thought it was under F. I thought that's where you were adding that part.
Well, we could.
That item to F under compensation.
Well, because it's not a compensation you had mentioned.
Well, it's part of his vacation. That was you were worried about him. It pertains to the vacation.
Yeah, no.
But it's not strictly vacation. Okay. So.
It's not something that we're given to the employee.
So then you want to add another line instead of just putting it in with... with M?
I think M was the only place that I could think of where to put it. Or, yeah, because we're talking about his hours. It could go under item J, under his outside engagements. Does the board think we need to put that in?
What is that? The
board will be notified of any pending vacations or absences 1 week prior to the absence?
I do.
Yes. If we want to just...
Put it under O. Add another deal.
Okay.
Yes, that's
right. Add O.
Okay.
And add that there, and then you can still interject the other line right after working fires when available, period. Add another line about...
Yes, it is the chief's responsibility.
Right. They add that right after when available. So the chief, it will be... You know,
to ensure that all fires and emergency calls are properly covered, period.
To make sure, read it one more time, please.
It is the chief's responsibility to ensure that all fires and emergency calls are properly covered. Moving on to page 3, there were no corrections.
No, you're adding O.
Okay. Item O, the board will be notified of any pending vacations or absences 1 week prior to the absence. And there was nothing else on page 3 that we found incorrect or...
Mr. Chairman, I have something on page 3.
Yes?
N, misuse of unauthorized use of any district equipment or property or allow any unauthorized individual to use or have access to any. But what do you mean by unauthorized?
On item N?
Yeah.
Correctly, yeah.
Any unauthorized individual is any individual that is not part of the fire department or not covered by insurance with the district. Unauthorized? Is that clear?
Okay, let me explain something about our insurance program. Our insurance, the way our insurance is written right now with VFIS, I can say, I need you to grab that truck.
He just became authorized.
Exactly. So I want to make sure that that's okay, because you also mentioned, or any person that's not an employee. I just want to clarify.
Okay.
When the chief tells somebody to pick up a piece of equipment, move a piece of equipment, the way it's always been when I was a volunteer firefighter was, as soon as that chief authorized that person to go on a call, go on anything pertaining to the department, he was authorized. So
right, but that's just anybody within the fire department. He can't tell somebody off the street.
Anyone on the street.
You can take somebody off the street and say,
That's how it was when I was here 10 years ago as a volunteer. Anybody that showed up, if the fire chief at the time thought that person was qualified to respond, he was automatically covered.
Right. I just wanted to clarify in the board meeting, just so that way if I say, hey, Joe Blow, I need you to take this truck and go get gas in it or go get me a load of water or whatever, that it's covered. Thank you.
How would we state this then?
I just wanted to
say... No, I'm talking to the board.
It's stated good. It's just that he was wanting the board to know that if he tells somebody on the public to if you see someone driving the fire truck or ambulance or whatever, it would be a legitimate question to ask him, but if he authorized it, then he is covered by the department's policies.
So it's okay as stated?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else on page 3? Page 4. We saw no typos or spelling corrections.
No, but that was where I would like to have that for district obligations B for the annual physical
Great, okay.
To be added in. Because it's talking about medical insurance right there.
Under compensation?
No, district obligation.
District obligations.
B.
Okay.
Because that's going to be something that the district will be providing.
Bill, just in case you weren't here, Mr. Jones came up with the employee shall provide to the district a physical from a certified physician chosen by the district prior to accepting employment, and then to conduct a physical on a yearly basis, and then conduct a physical.
Where are you?
We're on page 3.
Okay.
Item number D.
You made it E.
We're under item under D. We're making an item number E.
Okay. You know, can I backtrack for a second?
Sure.
If you'll go to page 4 under B, under no circumstances shall district vehicle be driven by anyone other than employee or other district personnel. Wouldn't that take care of N?
Okay, you said 4.
Page 4, at the bottom.
Oh, okay.
B, wouldn't that take care of N?
Well, actually, we're talking about district equipment or property. You know, for instance, somebody can't take the television home to watch.
But it says district vehicle.
Yes, and that's only district vehicle under that. On page 4, very bottom.
Yeah.
That's only concerns the district vehicle.
Okay.
On page 3 on the top is district
equipment or property,
which includes district vehicle, you know, because that's part of the equipment. But this one is specifically for the district vehicle.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we're going to run into the same issue then.
No, because I feel the board wants, under no circumstances shall the district vehicle be driven by anyone other than the employee or any other district personnel. Period.
Period.
What does the board feel?
Where?
On page 4, district vehicle use terms and conditions.
District vehicle use and terms. Because my page number is
not
off.
Different.
Oh, you're. Okay.
Okay.
Ours copied the same way. You must have the same printer.
And did Terry Bannon pick this up?
Well, yes, Terry Bannon. We have a portion of the district vehicle on the old contract.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way I'm reading this, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Under no circumstance shall district vehicle be driven by anyone other than employee or other district personnel. As soon as the fire chief tells Joe the plumber on the street that he needs to have that truck moved, he just became an employee of the district for that length of time to move the vehicle.
How do we pay for that employee then?
We don't.
But we're given the chief specific instructions in this portion that he cannot do that.
Uh-huh.
You're violating what? Arizona Revised Statute.
I don't think we are, but this is a question I will definitely bring up to Terry Bannon.
So we can have it read that it's anything that is unauthorized by the chief. That way, if that person is authorized, it will come back to cover him on the second page.
I'm concerned that if he takes somebody off the street that's not able to drive,
I understand,
and gets into an accident, or runs over somebody, or damages other fire equipment, then we're liable in that case.
Right. And then that would probably fall under termination A, incompetence, inattendance, or derelict of duty, where he wasn't, the fire chief himself was not aware of the fact that that person that he appointed to operate that apparatus was, I would think that if he didn't feel that that person was qualified to drive the vehicle, then he was not.
Let me add on to that a little bit more, if I could. Not only that, but we do quite a bit of mutual aid. We may have somebody from Elfrida say, here, drive the rig, we're working in the back, or vice versa.
Who are they saying, who are they talking to?
One of their employees.
Okay.
But I mean, there's several different things that can happen.
Deputies or employees.
So shall we bring this question to Terry Bannon? Or do you think we can solve it right here? Under no circumstances shall the district vehicle be driven by any other than an employee or other district personnel as assigned?
Be driven by any unauthorized person, employee, or district personnel. Because if a sheriff pulls up, he's authorized to jump in that rig.
Okay, that's
and if a state trooper pulls up, he is, and so is a border patrol. So, and so is an Elfrida firefighter. So they would be authorized, any authorized.
But didn't you have your wife drive a vehicle back from the other side of the valley?
Yes, I did.
Is she an authorized person?
When I asked her to, she became authorized, yes, for our insurance.
Then you say she was covered by insurance, our insurance?
Yes, sir.
Because you appointed her?
Yes.
What about this? Under no circumstances shall district vehicle be driven by any unauthorized employee
or unauthorized person. Employee or district personnel. That covers it all.
By any what?
Unauthorized person, unauthorized employee, or any unauthorized district personnel.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Any questions, comments?
I have a comment. I'm trying to figure out how to put it together.
How to put what?
If you could give me a moment.
Sure, Bill.
Didn't we put it together?
What I'm trying to put together here is no one should be driving these vehicles under any other circumstance than the furtherance of department duties.
During department, under no circle.
Okay. Together for me in words better than that.
Yeah, I see where you're going. In other words, the district. Well, under A, employee use of district vehicle is limited to use in furtherance of district business. Wouldn't that cover it?
Yeah, I'm not so sure that's not handled on down the way, but. That's where I think we're trying to get to. Yes, he can authorize someone else to move a vehicle, but only in furtherance of the district duties or district, what is better for the district. In other words, you can't just say, you go ahead and drive this car to Tucson and pick up something at Walmart for me. It's got to be in furtherance of the duties of the district. Does that make sense?
Right. Well, that's exactly what IA says. The employee's use. It's only talking about the employees. The employee's use or any authorized any other authorized person. Use of the district vehicle is limited to the furtherance of district business.
Yeah. Right. I don't know if that covers this section or not. I don't want to micromanage either, but I also want to make sure that we're covered in the fact that you just can't willy-nilly say, you go drive the vehicle, or you can drive it, or take it uptown, or whatever.
Okay, so possibly under A, the employee's use or any other authorized person's use of district vehicle is limited to the use in furtherance of district business.
Right, that's pretty specific. I think that would work. I don't know what everybody else thinks, but I think that would work.
So let me clarify for me, Mr. Chairman. So in this case where I had my wife drive the command truck, we went out to pick up a brush truck that was left out in the field because that person had to go with the medics to Wilcox. So she drives my truck back, so that way I didn't have to call somebody else in to go and meet me to go pick up that truck. So that would be covered.
Yeah, because it's in the furtherance of district business.
Thank you.
I didn't mean to answer that for you.
No.
I interpreted it.
No. This is a 5-member board. Thank you. Page 5. We have a...
Wait a minute. Weren't we going to do on page 3, weren't we going to put on an E after D?
Yes, we did.
We did.
What was that? What did we end up with?
The employee shall provide to the district a physical examination from a certified physician chosen by the district prior to accepting employment, and then conduct a physical on a yearly basis.
Okay.
So page 5, we had one on the very top of page 5, we had a correction in spelling. Employee shall receive mileage compensation as set forth in the district's policy, or if no policy exists, then this rate shall be in accordance with the standard IRS rate for such use.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Under compensation, with E, employer agrees to pay employees monthly health insurance premium. Employee shall be responsible for any additional health care premium costs for dependents. I would like to see, I want to know what the other board members feel about this, but that's locking the employer into, no matter how much the Medicare premiums that the health insurance premiums increase, that's locking the employer into covering 100% of that. I would like to propose that the district pay from this point on 50% and the employee pay 50% with the district's 50% contribution not to exceed a 5% increase per year. Because health insurance can get very costly, and I would like to try to keep costs down for the employer, keep things affordable for the employee.
So are you saying that you want to pay the employees 100% but pay the chief 50%?
You are a contract right now, so
okay.
We can have. A contract can be different than hourly persons.
Well, under compensation on the old contract, basically this was identical that we've had on the other health care insurance. I remember going through this part with Terry Bannon, and she said that that sounds fair. That sounds right in the ballpark with the other fire stations. I'm not sure if you've heard of other fire stations that have where the board only gives 50%. I think we have to give our fire chief the same benefits that the employees have, as far as vacations, sick leave accrued. and clothing allowances and so on. What does the rest of the board think? Bill, Mr. McCarter, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that.
With what Gino said or what?
I agree that the fire chief is due each, he's due each benefit that we give to any other employee. I think that his benefits should fall in line with other employees.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree also.
Moving on to the last page. Page 6. Now we have to make sure we left everything basically blank under here. We have to make sure that the employee puts down the physical address.
Mr. Chairman, I do have another question on compensation.
Yes.
It says here on compensation B, cost of living, salary increases, shall be increased by the same percentage as provided to other employees and shall be effective on the same date as the affected employees. Right now, it's set up to as your anniversary date, so not everybody doesn't have one at a separate different time.
So yours would be on your anniversary date.
Right.
So that would be equivalent to the other employees if it's taken care of on your anniversary date.
Yeah, I think that.
So in this case, if I accept this contract, then it would be a year out before I'd be looking for another raise because my anniversary date is September 20th.
Well, it's not what we call a raise. It's COLA, the cost of living salary increases.
Right. So my COLA wouldn't be effective until September 25th of 2012 if I accept this contract. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Back to the last page, the employee shall use his physical address, not a P.O. box.
Where are you seeing that at?
The very last page,
uh-huh.
Under the fire board's address. All notices, either permitted or required, shall be in writing and sent to the addresses below. Those three lines are blank because whoever signs this contract has to provide the board with a physical address, not a P.O. box address.
Is that a statement or a question?
No, that was just a statement.
A statement?
Just to let you know that's why that is blank.
Okay.
Legally, you cannot... have a process served or to a P.O. box. It has to have a physical address. If that need ever arises that we need to serve anything, then we have to have a physical address. Any other questions or comments from the board?
Now, all the changes that we made when we vote on this, they become active.
Yes.
Okay, as of tonight.
Well, somebody can make a motion.
I'll make a motion that all the changes we made tonight will be entered into the contract with the approval of Terry Bannon. She will add them. There may be some verbiage that needs to be changed, but the content of them will be basically what we said. So I'll make that motion. That those changes be made and that we adopt this new chief's contract.
Motion has been made by Mr. Tim Heine to make the changes to the contract as we have discussed them and make it a permanent part of the employment agreement pending our attorney's review. Do I hear a second?
Second.
We have a second by Ms. Candy Roll. We will now take a vote.
Excuse me.
Yes, Mr. McCarter.
Can we have some discussion?
Yes, let's have some discussion, Bill. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Because I missed out on the early part of the meeting, I just want to reiterate, and I believe it's in the contract, and I hope that it is, that it will be the duty of the fire chief to ensure that these changes be incorporated into this contract and that they become a part thereof immediately after the review by Terry Bennett.
Yes, and that is part of the contract statement. Did you see that part, Mr. McCarter?
Yeah, I just wasn't here when you discussed it, so I just want to make sure.
Okay. And that's under item E on page 6. No, it isn't. That's just modifications. No.
I'm pretty sure it's in here.
Yeah.
That's nowhere. But perhaps I should read through it and make sure.
It is there, but I agree with you.
It's B on page 1.
No, there was a very specific portion. It will be the employee's responsibility to make these changes and incorporate them into a written modification or amendment to this agreement and present it to the district board within 5 business days from the date of the meeting in which the modifications or amendments occurred. That's part E on page 6. Do you see that, Bill?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I didn't read on through, but yes.
Okay. Any other comments or discussion from the board? We'll now take a vote. All those in favor of the motion of adopting this as our employment agreement with the written changes and corrections and the additions with a final review from Terry Bannon with a show of hands. Show of hands show that all 4 board members here voted in favor. Mr. McCarter, I will ask you to voice your vote verbally.
I say aye.
Okay, thank you. That vote was aye, so all board members did vote in favor of that. Item number 5 on the agenda, we have this vote on presenting the fire chief the contract discuss and vote on presenting the fire chief contract to Fire Chief Martinez, noting that this contract can be accepted or not accepted by the termination date of the current contract. Now, this is not a completed contract. I want to discuss this a bit. I feel that this isn't a complete contract that we can present to the chief at this time. What are the comments from the board?
I believe that the chief was here for all discussion about the contract, so it can be presented. He has time to decide whether it's the contract he wishes to have or not, correct?
Yes.
And I think that time-wise, I bet if you can get a hold of Terry Bannon, you can have this contract in a day.
Yes, we'll have it ready tomorrow.
As I said, any motions that are made now on number 5 would have to be just as I stated it for the last.
Okay.
Because if there's a statement in the contract that is totally different from what the chief has seen, well, then it's not the contract that we discussed this evening.
Okay.
But if it is, I think we can still make a motion because I think we need to, or either make a motion or not, but I think that we have to be handle this evening because there's a time element.
That's true, very true.
So I think that, one way or another, we need to have
know that within 3 weeks the contract's up on the 15th of January?
The 5th of January.
The 5th of January.
Yeah.
Well, we need to...
Okay, do we have any motions from the board? Any more discussions?
Well, I think the chief, did the chief hear the comments that were made at the last meeting on the tape?
Yes, I did.
And I'd like to hear your comments on those items.
I would like to speak to the board if I could real quick.
Please do. But could we take a 2-minute break?
Yeah, let's take a break. Bill, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. The tape will still be running.
Bill, are you there?
Yes.
Where is there?
Where is there?
Yeah, you better not be on a beach.
No, I'm not on a beach.
All right.
Or a bar.
I didn't hear him reject
or in a bar.
That.
Yeah, he didn't say that.
Well, he knows he's being recorded. Okay, and I'd like to recall this meeting back to order after the recess. We just had a comment. The agenda states to discuss and vote on presenting the fire chief contract to Fire Chief Martinez, noting that this contract can be accepted or not accepted by the termination date of the current contract. There is no other, nothing else on the agenda that says that that we should let the chief make comments. That was just on the very last sentence of the, before we went on the break. Mr. Heine said that he would like to hear from the chief. Concerning this, it can be construed as part of the discussion on the agenda that we've asked the chief for his comments, and because we are still in the discussion mode of this part of the agenda, and part of the discussion was that Mr. Heine did ask the chief to make his comment. I know we do not have any call to the public listed. So that won't fit under there, but I feel it's under discussion, and Mr. Heine has a question for the chief. Do we have any further comments concerning my statement?
If I may.
Yes, Mr. Jones?
The agenda just states discuss and vote on presenting. So it's just the discussion and the vote on presenting the contract, not on what has happened in prior meetings. I just want to make sure we're within the law of the open meeting.
My only comment would be is that at all other meetings, the chief has obviously been included in the discussions. So
I'm just stating that the
right, and I'm just stating what I'm stating. So I'm just stating that the chief has been involved in all discussions at other meetings on all agenda items. So should we not let him speak now? I don't know.
He's been involved through the whole
time. He has been involved at the board's request. The chief is not allowed to make any comments during a board meeting unless he's specifically recognized by the board or the board specifically asks him a specific question to answer or to comment on. So the board has recognized the chief at this meeting with questions to the chief from the board concerning certain things. He has raised his hands to be recognized by the board, and the board has recognized his presence and allowed him to speak. I don't think this is in violation of any type of Arizona statutes or open meeting law. If we need to take this further, we can take it to our ombudsman at a later date. And at this time, I'm saying that we are not in violation of an open law meeting. Mr. Heine had a question as part of the discussion portion of this agenda item to the chief. And I think that's was just a question. What was your question again, Mr. Heine?
Well, I asked the chief if he listened to the meeting last week, and I was going to ask him what his comments were on some of the comments that were made, but I don't know if I can do that.
May I interject?
Yes, Bill.
I just want to say that, and maybe I'm overdoing this, but I want to clarify that no one is trying to stymie the chief in his comments. We just want to make sure that we're not violating the open meeting law. But without this becoming a vote where a vote's not asked for, I would like to say that if Mr. Heine, as a member of the board, has asked for a response, I think that he's due a response.
Okay, well then I would like to have a response. Do you have your notes categorized, Chief?
Yes.
Kind of? Okay, then I would like a response to your take on Mr. McCarter's, what he said about how he felt about some of the things that he didn't think that you were doing the way he would have liked them.
Okay. I think that Mr. McCarter's talk was on ethics. As I said in the previous board meeting, and I'll say it again, that's Mr. McCarter's opinion. I think I did it by the way the contract read. And to me, that was ethical. As far as the Lori Tucker issue, none of us liked the way it was handled. I think that I could have handled it sooner than it got handled. But it is what it is. Those are my comments on that from Mr. McCarter.
Okay. How about comments that Ms. Roll made about? Do you have those comments?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, Mrs. Roll made a comment about the chairs and who gave me authorization to purchase the chairs. Well, first off, when I first started with this fire district, I have asked over and over again, what's my spending limit? What has to or does not have to be presented to the board? Okay, that was never answered. However, the chairs were purchased with things that were laying around this fire station and things that I've donated from my own self to go to auction to purchase these chairs. Another comment was made about wildland money, that the chief was only thinking about his spouse to raise money to purchase her surgery. Well, that's incorrect. And the reason why that is incorrect, $1,200 came out of my pocket for my wife's surgeries. The rest was donated. Okay, I made a lot more than that on the wildfires. The other thing with the wildfire money is now what is pulling us out of the IRS issue. Overspending on the ambulances and the third ambulance not being in the fleet. First off, we did not overspend on the ambulances. We never gave a definite amount of how much was going to be spent to refurbish the ambulance. The third ambulance, we can't afford to put in service right now, so it's being on hold. The Jaws of Life. The Jaws of Life, we got a quote in the neighborhood of $20,000+. The bank said that they would not do a finance unless they had a purchase of $30,000. I felt that I did the right thing by bringing it back to the board to ask which way do they want to go. Vacation time. My first year, I did not get vacation. My vacation came for 2 weeks after my first year. Well, I was hired on September 25th, 2009. So I didn't use any of my vacation time until recently. And I still have 8 days available. I feel that no positive remarks were given by the fire board. Not one of the good things that I had done in the 2.5 years that I've been here. It was, he's either gone too long or he's gone too much. Nothing positive was actually given, except for when Mrs. Roll stood up for me to say that he was not here and that the board shouldn't have gotten involved with the Lori issue. That was the only positive thing that was said. That's all the comments I have.
Any other further discussion from the board?
There was one more comment that I would like you to respond to, and I think I heard something about it earlier today, but I would like it clarified. The ISO rating, there was a gentleman at the end when it was called to the public.
Listen,
what could you bring me up to date on that? Because he said that he was very irate, kind of, as a gentleman at a meeting, and I didn't like that, really, but we listened to him, and now I'd like your comment on what he said.
I'm sorry, I got to interject here. I'm afraid that's out of the scope. We got to put that on another agenda. That question can be asked, but not tonight. That's getting outside of where we're at.
And Fino can fill you in.
Okay.
Or I can fill you in after the meeting.
Okay, yes. Moving on. Any further discussion? Do I hear any motions?
Maybe I'm not done with discussion. I would like to, since you have heard basically the new contract, do you think that you could or would want to have that contract offered to you?
At this time, I'm going to deny the contract.
Okay.
Effective as the contract reads, the 5th. I would like to stay until the 11th, if you allow me, but it's up to you.
11th of January?
Yes, ma'am.
Your contract would expire if you decide not to accept this contract on the 5th.
That is correct.
And you want a 6-day extension, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Why did we say the 5th? I'm thinking, I thought it was a typo. It's the 13th.
I thought it was the 15th.
I have the, right here the contract, the 13th.
It says here the 5th day of January, 2010.
Where's, oh.
The very first page.
Oh, that's right. That's when you signed it, Chief. That's right. The 5th day of January. Okay, that's where that comes in. Okay.
The reasons why I would like to extend it to the 11th is I still got some things that I would like to get finished here. One of them is hiring a person for the secretary position, getting them lined out, and also to finish up the health care.
May I make a statement, Mr. Chairman? Tonight?
Yes, go ahead.
First off, you didn't want to hire the secretary. We appointed a, what are we?
That's not
a panel? We have a panel. That's
panel.
Decided.
And the chief is one of the
panel. And chief is part of that panel.
Yes. There's a four-person panel.
So,
I'm sorry, but that's incorrect. I never said that I didn't want to hire a secretary.
You told me. Can I make a comment to you?
Yes, go ahead.
You told me one time that you didn't do such a good job the first time. You wanted somebody else to pick it up.
I wanted the panel. I never said that I didn't want to be part of the panel. I wanted the panel. We picked the panel.
You didn't make it clear at that point, so that's where I got that from. So.
That's up to the board, whatever they want to do.
Okay, the chief has commented that he would not accept the contract. At this time, I feel that we have to comply with the current contract, and that the 5th of January of 2010 would be the 2012 will be the last day would it be the 4th?
What day is
at the end of the work schedule?
May I interject,
yes,
please?
Yes, Bill.
I think it's a moot issue whether he'll accept it or not. We're here to decide whether we want to forward it to him to be accepted.
That's true. We haven't even voted to. You're right, Bill. Thank you.
And I would make a motion that
we do
present or offer this contract to Chief Martinez.
We have a motion.
As discussed and changed.
Modified. We have a motion made by Mr. Tim Heine to present the Fire Chief contract to Fire Chief Martinez as corrected and amended during this board meeting and recorded. Do we have a second?
I second that.
We have a second by Mr. Bill McCarter. Do we have any discussion on this? Any further discussion? We'll now take a vote on this. All those in favor of presenting the Fire Chief contract to Fire Chief Martinez as amended and corrected during this meeting with a show of hands. A show of hands shows that two board members vote that. Mr. McCarter, since you're on the phone, I'll take your vote as a yay or nay.
I say yay.
Okay, so that is a yes vote. All those in favor of, all those against with a show of hands? Show of hands show that two board members voted against that. So that motion has been passed. We will present the chief with the contract tomorrow. And then
5 days. You want to just with 5 days of what the contract says, just to give yourself the time in case the attorney can't review and make the corrections?
She called me this morning and said she would like to get this over as quick as possible.
Okay.
With any amendments or changes or corrections that might need it to be done. So I can bring a copy of the contract to the chief, and then it'll be up to the chief to accept it or not accept it in writing. Okay? Thank you, Bill. I'm going to adjourn now. The time is 15 minutes after 8:00.
Thank you again, everyone, for letting me sit in.
Thank you.